All right, Rabbosai, good morning, good morning, or good tovach. Aschus Baruch Hashem to begin another week of Talmud Torah with everyone. To begin by thanking all of our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar, Beis, the Schwarzbaum Mishpacha, memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwarzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Leah Sol, in the Schus of Dori Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery, complete Refuah Shleima for a safe return of all of our hostages, and Emer Tzah Hashem Hatzlacha for our precious soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emmanuel, and the merit of Hatzlocha, health and joy for the entire family. Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son and the memory of Staff Sergeant David Sasuna Shemi Kom Damo. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel Ben Zachariah, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Dov, both who have Yard Sites on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We hope that in the merit of, and we dedicate our learning, the Ilui Nishmas, the soldiers who fell in battle over the weekend, Captain Ido Baruch, Sergeant Amitai Evan Shoshan, Sergeant Roi Harush, and Sergeant Eli Zair. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas Lahavin Aliyah, the families in Nechama, all of those who need a Refuah Shleima should have one together with Kol Choli Yisrael. Should be a week of Besoros Tovos in which each of our hostages come home and our soldiers, Emeret Hashem, are Matzliach Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Let's say with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, a lot to accomplish. Today's daf is Lamed Tes 39. And we are picking up, I actually want to just go back a little bit, just to pick up from Umoridin Karol, and Rabbi Richter got to the top of Lamed Tes. But just for the sake of framing the sugya, let's just start on Lamed Chesem Abayis 38b, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So we'll just go through it quickly, but this way we'll get all of our categories down. 11 lines up from the bottom, 38b. Umoridin Karov Lenichse Shavoy Tanahi. Now, we'll say, so remember again, the sugya that the Gemara was dealing with yesterday, towards the end of yesterday's daf, was if someone's taken captive, and we'll see different variations of that case, but if someone is taken captive, so do relatives have the right to kind of insert themselves into the management of the property, or are we concerned for some potential type of misappropriation? So now the Gemara says as follows, whether or not we allow a relative to manage the estate of their relative who is being held captive is a general machlokes. Here we go, Desanya. Hayori v'nichse shavoy. And we'll say if somebody goes in, so let's say we'll call it Reuven. Reuven is taken captive. And Shimon comes along and takes it upon himself to manage the property. So what's talacha? Ein motzino somiyado. Ultimately, we don't extract the property from Shimon. In other words, you don't kick him out. For lo, not only that, ela afilo shama shema mashmishin uboin v'kadim etal ha-shva'achol harei zoriz v'niskar. Not only that, we'll say, but if halacha lemaisos, right, the person who's managing the property hears that the hostage is coming home, then and he quickly goes ahead and harvests all of the produce and everything, we don't even take it out of his hands. We let him go ahead and keep it. Now we'll say, now the logic for that we'll see in just a little bit. So we'll say, what's an example of nichsei shvuyin? What's that case? Hare shahaya aviv o achiv o echam min hamorishin holchu lahem lemedinas hayam. Okay, so now we'll say a little bit more clarity. What's Nichse Shavuyin? Nichse Shavuyin is I hear that someone who I stand to inherit. That's the case over here. So literally again, I hear that my father, my brother, or one of the other people who I am in line to inherit was overseas. Well, there was another one overseas. And I heard that ultimately, again, they died. That's the case. So we'll say, so that's why the terms are even themselves like a little bit. That's how the Gemara understands Nichsei Shavuyin. It's not that anyone's being held hostage. It's that someone went overseas. I heard the person died. So again, I'm in line for inheritance. I descend into the property and I'm managing the property, recognizing that, I don't know, is it definitive news? Not definitive news. But Lamaisa, I've inserted myself into this process because I am in line of inheritance. So I'll say, so in this case, Bezin doesn't get involved. Bezin doesn't throw me off the land. And not only that, if I hear that my relative is coming back to town, you know, so look, some people prepare a suda, other people harvest all the produce they can before their loved one gets back into town. Different family dynamics. But I say, if I do that, again, I'm within my right. That's nichsei shivuyin. Next, hanori. So we'll say hayori. So hanori the nichsei netushin. What about if somebody goes into Nechse Netushim? Motzin Oso Miyado. That we extract. That basin gets involved and takes the person out of the picture. What are Nechse Netushim? Ve'eloi Nechse Netushim. Harishaya Aviv O Achav O Echam and Marishin. Holchu Lahem L'mdinasem. So it's the same case. In all of these cases, Rabbi will say, I am getting involved in property for people who I stand to inherit. It's the same case. I hear that my father, my brother, or one of the other people I stand to inherit, went overseas. But I didn't hear that they died. In other words, it's an interesting case. Somebody who's sent overseas. So somebody who I stand to inherit goes on vacation. I say to them, you know what? A lot of bad stuff happens on vacation. You know, let me get a head start on this Yerusha. Right? And I go ahead and I start taking that property. Bezin says, no. That you can't do. So the Gemara says, V'amra b'shem ringam niyo. B'shem niyo says, Shamati, I heard, Shahanetushin kishvuyin. That no, Netushin is like Shavuin, is treated like what's called captive property. But again, I just want to point out, Nechse Shavuin, the term is a little bit misleading because no one is being held captive. The case of Shavuin is someone who I stand to inherit has gone overseas. I heard that person died. So now again, I get involved in their property. Nechse Netushim is, again, we're going to further clarify this. Someone who I stand to inherit goes overseas. I didn't hear anything. But I choose to involve myself, bless you, I choose to involve myself in their property. So Halacha might say, in that case, Beis Din intervenes and says, no, get out. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, I heard that Netushin is like Shavuyim. Next case. Hayori the Nechse Ritushim. This is Ritushim. So I've got Shavuyim, Netushim, and Ritushim. Motzin Oso Miyado. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what's the Halacha? What's the halacha? I'm sorry. So Hayori Lenechse Ritushim, Motzin Oso Miyado. So we'll see Ritushim, Bezin gets you out of there. Ve'eloi Nechse Ritushim, Warren Nechse Ritushim, Harishahaya Aviv O'echar O'echar Memorishim Kan, Ve'eni Odeh Lehechan Halchu. So we'll say that's the case of just where one of the relatives, no, or same case, I go into property of someone who I stand to inherit, but in this case, they didn't go overseas. We just don't know where they are right now. We just don't know where they are right now. So in that case, halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa basin will cause me to get off the property. Okay, so the Gemara says, by the way, maishna, so we'll say, so let me just give like a little bit of color to this. Take a look at the last Rashi on the daf. Nechse Ritushin Rashi says, Shan nechasim Ritushin lekamam afarish lehu. Ritushin, actually, you know what, let's go a little bit weiter first. And we'll come, let's do the Rashi. It says, Ritushin mashma, sha'azvum bailam midaitam. So we'll say, we're going to see this in a little bit, but let me just give this to you now already. So the Gemara is going to explain later on. So again, the one category that seems to be abundantly clear is Nechse Shavuyin. That case, I understand. Someone who I stand to inherit went overseas. I heard that they died. Now, both say, obviously, we're not talking about like there's eidos that they died. Because if there's eidos that they died, then when? Then what? I have inherited this case. That's easy. I heard that they died. So what do? I go onto their property. And again, in my mind, I'm managing the property. They're coming back. They're not coming back. I'm utilizing it while I'm going ahead and managing it. But that's the case of Shavuyin. And that case, I'll say again, so that everybody seems to agree, we leave that situation alone. Okay, what about Netushin and Ritushin? So now Rashi says over here, Mefarishlo Ritushin mashma sha'azvum bailim midaitam v'hochulahem dechevan dehayelo letzavos haridu yarshin and nechasev lo tziva shmamina lo nechaluhu. So I'll say, working backwards a little bit, Ritushim, which was category number three. So category number three, I'll say, is where, let's say again, someone who's related to me, who I stand to inherit. My father goes over, my father leaves town. My father didn't leave any instructions. He didn't say, son, brother. He didn't leave any for anyone to manage his field. So because he didn't leave any instructions, they're both saying, and because, again, I don't know where he is, what he's done, so the default is, leave it alone. Had he wanted someone to manage the property, he would have gone ahead and he would have said so. And I'll both say, now this is true, Ritushim we're going to see, is because he's leaving of his own volition. So because he's leaving of his own volition, if he wanted someone to manage the property, he would have left instructions to do so. What's Netushim? Netushim shenasum shenatshum baleim bal karchon kigon shenishbu. Behind tonight is Rabbi Shem Savar Moridin, Rabbanan Savar Emoridin. So also, it's interestingly, if Netushim is where, let's say, against someone who I stand to inherit, had to leave, but had to leave against his will, had to leave abruptly, right? Because of some type of extenuating circumstance. So that's why there's a machlokes, is Netushim like Shavuya Meras? Therefore, I will say, if we arrange all of this, here's what we got. Nechse Shavuya, I will say, is where someone went away and something extenuating happened, or at least that's what I hear. Something extenuating happened. He died. So the halacha is, in that case over there, in that case, we let the relative kind of get on the property and manage the property. Nechasim Netushim. Netushim is where someone left town because of extenuating circumstances. What's the status of Netushim? That's Machlokes. Is Netushim like Shavuyim, not like Shavuyim, Machlokes? And last case, Ritushim, owners of the land left of their own volition and did not give instructions. So if they did not give instructions because they left of their own volition, therefore what? We leave it alone. No one, Bezin says, relatives, you can't get involved in that. Okay. The Gemara now just asks, by the way, about the names, right? Why are these called Netushim and these are called Ritushim? How do you understand the difference in the names? To which the Gemara says, well, say, tap of Lamites 39a, Netushim de Baal Karchach. So also remember again, Netushim is property that the owners leave against their will. When we say against their will, there's an extenuating circumstance. Tichsiv vashviyis tishmetena. Because they both say, again, Netushim is like the pasuk by Shemitah. What does it say? On the seventh year, tishmetena. Ultimately, again, you have to leave the land fallow. You have to leave the land fallow. Zalach Meisah, just like Shemitah, you have to leave the land fallow against your will. So to Netushim means property that you vacated against your will. Unetzlimar says, good. The Afkasa de Malka, it's the king who tells you to stop using your land. Ritushim Dimidaita, what about Ritushim? So we'll say Ritushim is property that you're leaving, but of your own volition. Dechsev, Eim Alabanim Rotsha. Okay. So we'll say, so therefore again, so now we have our three categories. Shvuyim, Netushim, and Ritushim. Okay, says the Imam of Kulon, Shamal and Kare. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. In all of these cases, if the owners come back, Halabai, the owners come back, so we'll say, so now let's just play this out for just a second. You've got Ruvain, right? Let's say again, Ruvain was taking care of his father's field. And it sounds like in all of these cases, father comes back. So obviously, father's going to get back his field. The Gemara says, we pay Ruvain like a sharecropper. So the Gemara says, well, one second, Ahia, which case are you specifically referring to over here? Ilema ash shivuyin, if you're talking about shivuyin, hashta zariz viniskar hava maida ashbach mibai. So we'll say, remember about shivuyin. What's the halacha about shivuyin? Anything you could take anything and everything. Shabbos says, if Lamaisa, you're even allowed to go ahead and harvest all the produce before the owner gets back, then what? Then it goes without saying that if you've improved anything, certainly you get to share those improvements as well. Ella, a retushim. Rather, Shabbos says, must go on retushim. Category three. Here's the problem. Vahamotzir oso miyado katani. Well, see, here's the problem. By Ritushim, what's the halacha? By Ritushim, if one of the relatives tried, remember, go and say, what's Ritushim? Ritushim is the owners left of their own volition, did not make plans, did not make any accommodations. And what do we say? Basin says, get out of here, right? We don't let the relative do something on the property. So if it's Ritushim, can't be Ritushim. Ella an Ritushim. Rather, I will say, must go on Ritushim. So I will say, remember again, what's the case of Ritushim? Case of Netushim is where the owners leave the field because of some extenuating circumstance. They have to leave. So the Gemara says, Leman. Shabbos say, ultimately, again, so Leman. Ilema the Rabban. I'm supposed to remember again, by Netushim, remember this is Machlokes. Machlokes 18, the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Rabbanon say that Netushim are of their own category, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says Netushim are treated like Shavuyim. So says the Gemara, Leman, Ilema the Rabbanon. So we'll say, ultimately again, if you say it's according to the Rabbanon, Ha'amri Motzin Osom Yado. According to the Rabbanon, we go ahead and literally again we extract netushim. So the Gemara. So remember again, the Rabbanon say that by netushim we do not let the relative come in and manage the field. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that netushim ultimately is like shavuyim. In which case again, the relative is permitted to manage the field and is permitted certainly would be entitled to share in any appreciation. So the Gemara says you're right. Netushim are kishvuyin velo shvuyin. So we'll say, on one hand, we say that netushim are like shvuyin, but they're not shvuyin. How so? Kishvuyin de motzino samiyado. They're like shvuyin in that if a relative comes along and goes ahead and decides of his own volition to manage the field, we let him do it. Velo kishvuyin, but they're not like shvuyin in that what? The ilu hasam zariz viniskar. The ilu hacha shamina lekaris. I will say, on the other hand, they're not like the shvuyin house of a shvuyin, I will say. The halacha is, if you're managing the field and you want to go ahead and take all the produce, you can do so. By nitushin, you can manage the field, but we're going to pay you like a sharecropper. You can't just take whatever you want. We're going to pay you like a sharecropper. Okay, incredible. So I will say, why is this any different than the following case? This nan. If a man spends money on his wife's property, so we'll say, so remember again, a woman brings in nechsei melog. So what's the halacha of nechsei melog? Dowry, property that a woman brings into marriage. So what happens in nechsei melog? The woman retains title, husband gets usage. So let's say a husband spends money, you know, on developing or improving his wife's nechsei melog. So what's the halacha? Hotzi harbe v'achal kima. Whether he went ahead and he spent a lot of money, but only consumed, or only utilized the nechsei melog to a smaller degree, or kima v'achal harbe, or for that matter, he invested only a little bit of money, and halacha l'maisa consumed a lot of the nechsei melog, masha hotzi hotzi, masha achal achal. Whatever has been spent has been spent. Whatever has been consumed has been consumed. So the Gemara says, why isn't this like the case of Netushim? To which the Gemara says, Halo damya ala laha. Because this case is only comparable to the following case. Disnan. Hamotzi otzal sanichse ishto kitano. So we'll say, interesting. Let's say a man spends money improving his kitano wife's property. Now we'll say, now remember, what are we talking about over here? By ishto kitano, we're talking about a girl who is married off by her mother or her brother. Now remember, such a marriage works, but it's only chal drabanon, which means that if she wants to get out of that marriage, what does she have to do? What does she have to do? Miyun. Right? Miyun. She just goes in and says, I don't want this anymore. So when a man spends money on the property of his ishto kitano, kimotzi al mechse acher, I will say, that's like spending money on someone else's property. Someone else's property. Now Rashi points out over here, why? Vim hotzi velo achal kedeo tsaaso shamin lo karis. So we'll say in that respect, if he develops that property, we would pay him back like a sharecropper. Alma, kevon de lo samcha daite, takino le rabbanon, kieche de lo livsedinu. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa says that anytime you do something to improve property that is not for sure going to be yours, so Chazal protected your interest a little bit by paying you like a sharecropper. So just like when a man invests in his kitana wife's property, again, at any moment she could say, I don't want this anymore and be out of this marriage. So therefore, again, Chazal kind of protected his investment a little bit by going ahead and paying him like an oris. So it's Rabbi saying any of these cases where the relative does not necessarily have a guaranteed interest in the land, any effort he puts in will be rewarded like he is a sharecropper. Incredible. Hachanami, takinu le rabbanon ki eichi delo livsedinu vikulan shamin lehen karis. Therefore, we'll say, I just want to point out this is interesting. See, what's happening over here is there is this tension. On one hand, there is a benefit to the relative coming into this field and managing it. Why? This way the property is not neglected. There's a danger. What's the danger? How danger is obvious. It can be easily exploited. Easily exploited. So the Gemara seems to be suggesting over here that one of the ways that we could kind of leverage this a little bit is pay the relative like a sharecropper. That way the relative has a vested interest in managing the property appropriately, but at the same time, the benefit that they're going to get from the property is capped at a certain level. So the Gemara says, V'kulan, are all three of these categories, shavuyin, netushin, and retushin, all paid like a sharecropper? V'kulan? So the Gemara says, V'kulan la'asuyeh, what does this come to include? So the Gemara says, la'asuyeh hada amar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel, shavuy shenishba, moridin karov l'nechasav. So Rav Hussein wants to include the following case, that if Chas V'Shalom, you have a Jew who was taken captive, and Rav Hussein, now they have a field that's being neglected, what do? We bring a relative, in other words, a relative who's in the succession of inheritance, in to manage this field. Yatza L'das, what happens if a person has a field and they left town of their own volition? Ein moridin karov l'nechasav. I was like, can you imagine, right? You go on vacation, and you come back, and one of your relatives who is in line to inherit you is living in your house. I say, oh, I was just taking care of your property, right? While you were gone there. I was going to say, so obviously the Gemara says, you can't have a situation like this. So somebody's Chas V'Shalom is taken captive. Yes, it makes sense. Bring a relative. And I will say, see, it's interesting. The relatives in general are a double-edged sword, right? So again, on one hand, halacha lemaisa, having the relative there to manage the field is good, because to a certain degree, it's they're like managing their own investment, and they're going to be taking care of it in a way. On the other hand, there's a danger that they may get a little bit too comfortable. But in any event, the halacha is yatzal adas, if a person leaves their property of their own volition, in moridin karov v'nechasav. So obviously in that case, we're not going to bring a karov in to manage. Rav Nachman says, boreach harihu kishavui. Rav Nachman says, someone who runs away is like someone who's been taken captive. Meaning what? Just like for someone who's been taken captive, Bezin will allow a relative to come down and manage the property. So someone who runs away is like someone who's been taken captive. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I'm sorry. So boreach machmas mai. So we'll say, running away from what? So the Gemara says, Ilema machmas kargo, if it's from paying taxes, hainu ladas. Then we'll say, that's someone who leaves of their own volition. And we just got finished saying that if someone leaves of their own volition, we don't let a relative come in and manage the property. Ella, boreach machmas mardin. Rather, we'll say, must be that, chas v'shalom, someone killed someone, and they're running away in order to escape capital punishment. That's like someone who has been forced to flee because of extenuating circumstances. And in that case, Beis Din will go ahead and allow for other to manage the property. I'm going to be there with Shmuel. Shavuish nishba, deniach kama liktzor. Anavim liftzor, tamarim ligdor, zesim limsokba. Limsok. So we'll say, so now, here's the following situation. Let's say you have someone of right, Reuven has a field, and Reuven was taken captive. And I'm going to say, he left produce in the field that is ready to be harvested. So what's talach? Beis Din yardan l'nechasav u'ma'amidin apetropis v'kotzer u'botzer. Excuse me. The go der umosek. So I will say, so in this case, Beis Din appoints an apotropis. So Beis Din appoints a guardian. Guardian is the wrong, really executor, right? Appoints a person to manage this. And this apotropis does all of the agricultural work. The achakach, morit in karlo v'nechasev, l'nechal v'nechasev. So I will say, this is actually a very interesting case over here. And then afterwards, after the apotropis does like the immediately, we'll call it urgent harvest work, then we'll bring in a relative to manage the estate. So I just want to point out what's happening over here. This case is a little bit different. Up until now, what we've been dealing with is just like, somebody is gone, so what are the halachos concerning maintenance of their field? And do we allow a relative to essentially come in and maintain? So you've established three different categories. We'll loop back in just a second. The Gemara now, Rav Yehuda, saying name is Shmuel, really a different kind of case. Reuven has a field. Reuven was taken captive. Reuven's field has acute agricultural work that needs to get done now. Harvesting that needs to get done now. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll bring in an apotropis, essentially someone to oversee the work. Let that person, court-appointed agent, let that person oversee all of the immediate work right now. And then afterwards, you could allow a relative to come in and to maintain. Now, I will say, take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the first of the widest lines in Rashi. So Rashi says over here, Ma'amidin apotropis, lahachnis davar hamuchan v'yeshamar labaylim, v'achakach moridin karov lahashpiach v'litol ke'aris. So I will say, we bring in the apotropis, and the apotropis's job is to take care, is to remedy the acute need right now. Right? The apotropis needs to remedy the acute need right now. Go ahead and harvest right now. Good morning. Go ahead and harvest right now. Right? And halacha l'maaseh, say after all of that is done, then bring in the relative to maintain or to improve. And we pay that relative like a sharecropper. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, I velokim apotropoli olam. I don't understand. Once you have the apotropis there, then what? Just let him stay there forever. What's the big deal? To which the Gemara says, Apitropa lidaknini lo mukminan. Tzirabo said, this is actually quite fascinating. In general, when Beis Din brings in Apitropis, Apitropis works for free. Works for free. This is like community service. You know, Beis Din needs your help. So Beis Din has like Rolodex, but there's only a few people who will get that reference. Right? So again, Beis Din has like a Rolodex of... Beryl, don't stare at me blankly over here, you millennial. So what happens? So Beis Din has their Rolodex over here that of people who would render services. So if Beis Din needed something, they'd call this Apotropis. So here's what's interesting. Apotropis is happy to help out. But Apotropis is not going to be willing to help out for adults. In other words, more often Apotropsin are called, we know this, are called upon to help Kitanim. So now Basin's going to say, Apotropis, manage the field of Ruvain, who's away. We don't know where he is. Ruvain is an adult. There's an estate. There's money. Pay someone. We'll say, it's actually an interesting mussar how, you know, in the world of favors, there's really only so much pro bono favor work a person should ask for. Even Beis Din, right, has its limitations. So again, for like a quick thing to oversee the harvesting, that will do. But afterwards, general maintenance, Apotropis is not going to do that. You can get a relative there, but even the relative, will say, it's interesting, even the relative is not going to work for free, right? Even the relative ultimately is going to get paid like a sharecropper. Incredible. All right, we'll say, let's go weiter. I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says as follows. All right, I'm Rav Huna. I'll just mention just before we go weiter that I think there's something really beautiful in all of this. So let's kind of clarify just halachically the constructs we have. So since we have three different cases, we have Nichse Shavuyin, Nichse Retushin, and Retushin. So Shavuyin, everyone is in this case of Bosai, is of where someone went out of town, right, is either dead or captive. Dead or captive. And again, I will say, in this case over here, Nichse Shavuyin, Beis Din allows the relative to get in there and go ahead and manage the property. Nichse Nitushin, ultimately, again, as now we'll say, now we understand our, is someone went ahead and left town because of extenuating circumstances. They did not have a choice. They had to go. They had to go. So in this case, again, this is a machlokis between the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon Gamliel, but machlokis about what the status is. And Ritushim, I will say, Ritushim is where a person just leaves of their own volition. No extenuating circumstances, nothing else. Halacha lemaase, again, just now in that case, Beis Din in general will not let anyone on the property. Since the owners left on their own volition, they purposely did not make any arrangements. Essentially, we don't let anyone take that field. Any case where a relative is allowed to go ahead and take the field and manages the field and oversees the field, they are paid. How are they paid? Like a sharecropper. So we'll say that's pretty much this entire Gemara. It's just interesting, I was thinking about this a bit last night, that these different categories of like Shavuyin, Netushin, Retushin, you know, represent the idea that in life, people make movement for all different reasons. If you think about it, you know, if you think about these categories, in life, kind of we're all running, we're all moving, but there are often two different types of journeys. Sometimes people are running from, and sometimes people are running to, right? There are times in life where I want to get away from this. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. All I know is I just don't want to be here. And there are some times in life where people are running towards something. It's not that this is bad. Maybe this is good, this being my current circumstance. But I want to get to something greater. And again, I will say, I think in life, we often take these different journeys. So like, you know, so there's retushin journeys. Retushin journeys are, I'm going somewhere. It's not that this is bad and that I need to get out of this. I'm going somewhere. And then there's Shavuyin and Netushin journeys, which are journeys ultimately, again, sometimes I take on my own volition, don't take on my own volition, extenuating circumstances, but often I'm running from something. And I want to say it's an interesting yisod in life to think about. Are you running from or are you running to? So often in life we spend so much time running from things. And we're always just running just to get away. And whatever it might be, from unpleasantness, from pain, but we don't necessarily have a targeted destination. Now, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh points this out. The pasuk says, "Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shava, vayelech charana." So if you think of it, it says Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. Right? This is when he was going to the house of Lavan. So why need both? Just say Vayelech Harana. So the Arachayim HaKadosh highlights this idea. He says that there are two journeys that Yaakov Avinu was taking. On one hand, he had to leave home. He had to leave home. He had to get away from Esav. But lest you think that Yaakov Avinu was just running from, just Vayitzi Yaakov, Vayelech Harana. He was running to as well. And as I always say that in life, sometimes you have to get away from certain things. But don't spend your life just running from. I also have to be Ritushin. I also have to have Vayelech Harana. I have to have a destination. I have to know where I'm going. I have to have a goal, a vision as to where I want to get to as well. That's my Vayelech Harana. That's my Nichsei Ritushin. Those represent the places I want to get to. Not just spending life running from. And incredibly so, just Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. Actually, no, let's go right there. We gotta go. They'll remind me, because it's actually a beautiful, beautiful idea that ties into this. We're not doing it now. Let's go. Says the Gemara. Om Rav Huna. A moritin katan nichse shavui. So Rav Huna comes along and says, we do not allow a katan. So we'll say, in the same case, I have nechasim shavuim. So right, Ruvain is overseas, and I hear that he died. So now again, the relative he has is a katan. Bezin does not allow a katan to go into and manage Ruvain's property, which makes a lot of sense. So the Gemara says, "Velo karov l'nichse katan." And this is interesting. Let's say, there's nichse katan. Let's say again, there's property of a katan that needs to be managed. We do not allow a relative of the katan to manage the katan's property. Isn't this interesting? And Rabbi say, in other words, who will we put in there to manage the katan's property? Who will they put in there? Apotropos. Right, but we don't allow a relative to manage a katan's property. Velo karov machmas karov l'nichse katan. We don't even allow the relative of a relative to manage the property of a katan. What does it mean, relative of a relative? So we'll say, even someone who's related to the relative of the katan, but not related to the katan himself. Like, for example, let's say again, I'm related to katan, and let's say it happens to be, let's say I'm related to the katan through my father. Right, but I have another relative who's related to me by my mother. That relative also can't manage the property of the katan. Now, why not? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "Emoritin." So let's go through each of these cases. Emoritin katan l'nichse shavoi. So we do not go ahead and allow a katan to manage the property of a shavoi. Dilma mafsilu. So we'll say that's obvious. Why? This is a katan. Doesn't know what he's doing. We'll say this. By the way, is a very important yisod. Children do not know what they're doing. A katan doesn't know what they're doing. I will say, it's amazing today, and I feel old saying this, but it is incredible to see in contemporary parenting how much autonomy parents give their children. What would you like to do? Right? What do you think? No, I don't care what you think. Do you know why? Because you're a child, and you don't know what you're doing. And that's why I invested with the responsibility of making decisions for you and not giving you autonomy and not giving you choices, because you don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because you have no life experience. You're a child. It's incredible. Parents let their kids choose where they want to go to school, right? I don't mean like college. I mean like elementary school, high school. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you putting that level of decision-making in the hands of someone who doesn't know anything? Not because they're not intelligent, but because they have no life experience. Or little things, matters of tznius, matters of halacha, all different things. Chevra, job of a parent is to give hadracha. Job of a parent ultimately is to be mechanech. Job of a parent is to put a child on the right derech. If your children knew everything they needed to do, then parents would be absolutely unequivocally superfluous and unnecessary. The fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a hierarchy of parents and children indicate that we have something in order to be madrich our children. So, and Gemara says, you can't put a katan in charge of a field. Do you know why? Because ketanim mess things up. Because they're children. And they don't have enough knowledge. Okay, let's go back there. Says Digimar, we're getting everything today. Parenting, life journeys. All right, let's go back there. Says Digimar, And furthermore, again, you can't put the relative of a relative in the property of a katan. Why? So the Gemara says, ba'achi me'ima. So again, I will say, that was the example I gave before. Let's say the katan is related to me from my father, and the other relative is related to me from my mother. And v'lo karo v'nichse katan, kevan de lo machi asilech zukebe. So we'll say, we now see this. The issue with a relative managing the property of a katan. What's the problem there? What's the problem? The problem is taking advantage of the katan. That's what we're concerned about. If you put a relative in the property of the katan, first of all, the katan, I will say, you know, this is also another yisod. Children, by nature, are trusting. That's why I will say, you know, when you hear chas v'shalom, someone taking advantage, rachmana litzlan, of a child, it's horrific. Because the most beautiful thing about children is how trusting they are. And when that trust is manipulated, so the Gemara says over here, here's the problem. If you put an adult, if you put a relative in charge of the katan's property, that is an easily exploitable situation. The relative essentially could claim that the property is his, and the katan's not going to object. Why is the katan not going to object? So first of all, the katan himself or herself may not actually even know the intricacies of everything. And again, there's a trust. There's a trust. So what I want to say is such a... Also, think about it from the parenting perspective, our children place their trust in us, and it is up to us to model for them the right life, the right lifestyle, the right decisions, so that we don't betray that trust. If I'm not the right role model for my child, then that is a betrayal of my child's trust. Overwhelming is so. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, "Kem lo machi asadach zukebe." Am Rava, Shema Mina, Midravuna, Ein machzik b'nichsei katan. So Rava say, "What do you see from here?" Ein machzik b'nichsei katan. I look at Rashi. That's Rashi in the daf. Shema Mina, Midravuna. Damar ein moridin karov l'nichsei katan shemi yachzik b'hen machmas yirusha. Aval achar she'ein lo tainas yirusha moridin v'lo chayshinan shemi yitan aviv shal katan machram li va'achaltim shnei chazaka. Shema Mina, Ein machzik b'nichsei katan. So we'll say. So again, what do you see from here? You see from here that you can't make a chazaka on the property of a katan. Amadvez va'afilu higdil. And even if halacha lemaisa, the katan gal, the mothers are both saying, generally, one of the ways that one could establish ownership is through usage. And if you use something for a sustained amount of time and there's no objection to that usage, then halacha lemaisa, that could establish chazaka. The Gemara says, you see from here that using the property of a katan, even if you use it ultimately, again, without objection, that does not establish chazaka. Why not? Because in general, the derech of kitanim is to be agreeable and to not lodge objections. So having used the property of the katan without objection for a sustained amount of time is not a presumption of ownership. Not only that, v'afil higdil. I will say, not only that, even if, let's say I use the property of a katan, let's say for 3 years, and then I continue to use it once the katan became a gadol, I will say, that's still not a presumption of ownership. Rashi says, "Afilu higdil hakata mishir lenichsei vachlo gimel shanu befanu mishigdil lahavi chazaka to tchilas yiridas ha'yisabzat." So I will say, what's the idea? Since the beginning of my usage of that property was when the child was a katan, even though I continued to use it when he was a gadol, that does not create ownership. But lo amran ella ba'achi da'aba. So I'm sorry, the Gemara says, however, this is only said with paternal brothers, or someone related to ultimately the father. So again, I just want to point out what's happened over here, because this is incredibly important. Now, we'll say we've established, just follow the progression. The halacha is, we don't allow a relative to manage the property of the katan. Why not? What's the logic? We're concerned that the relative is going to exploit the situation, say the property is his, and the katan is not going to object. Because the Gemara says, the derech of children is not to object. I will say, what does it mean? The derech of children is to go with whatever they assume is the norm. The Gemara says something very important. Based on this, I will say, if you go ahead and you use the property of a katan, without objection from the katan, even for a sustained amount of time, that is not a presumption of ownership. Because ketanim don't object. Not only that, if you begin to use the property of a katan when he is a katan, and then you continue to use it, even when it becomes a gadol, it's still not a presumption of ownership. Why not? Because since you started using it as a katan, and the katan doesn't object, even once he gets older, ultimately, again, he's not going to object to that use. So the Gemara says, the Gemara qualifies this. V'lo amran ella ba'achi da'aba. Bose, but this halacha, ultimately Rashi says, v'lo amran, de'in morid in karov l'nichsei katan. So Bose, when do we say that we don't allow relative to manage the property of a katan? So the Gemara suggests over here, that's only so, ultimately, again, when it's paternal relatives. Why? Because since Yerusha ultimately, again, goes through the father's side, that's when there is a concern that it's going to be exploited. But again, with a relative who's only related by the mother, we're not worried about exploitation. Why not? Because since that's not in the line of Yerusha, therefore halacha lemaisa, there's no concern that it's going to be exploited. Interesting. Furthermore, Furthermore, when do we say, even when it comes to relatives from the father, that you can't have them manage the property? That's only talking about land. But if it's a building or a house, less landba. We're not concerned about it. Now, Bosse, now why is that? This is actually very interesting. Because by homes or by buildings, there are neighbors. And neighbors know who the real owners are. So I say, see, isn't this interesting? So we're qualifying this. On one hand, we said the halacha. The halacha is that you can't bring a relative to manage the property of a katan out of fear of exploitation. Now the Gemara is qualifying this. Which relatives? Only paternal relatives who are aligned for Yerusha. Furthermore, only fields. But if it's like a home or a building, there's no concern of exploitation. Why not? Because they are neighbors. So neighbors know who the owners are, who the owners are not. Furthermore, again, I will say, even in land, we're only concerned ultimately if there's not an itidah. Itidah, I will say, is like a document of division. Essentially a document of ownership. But if there's an actual document, a document has a kol, literally has a voice. In other words, a document generates publicity, and therefore everyone knows. So it was another interesting qualifications. But at the end of the Gemara says, Velohi, we reject all of this. Loshna achida abba, loshna achida ima, loshna arasa, loshna bate, loshna avid ita, loshna lo avid itida, lo machtinon. So what the Gemara says, throw that all away. At the end of the day, we do not allow a relative to manage the property of a katan. It doesn't make a difference relative from the mother, from the father, a field, a house, a shtar, nash. It doesn't make a difference. We do not allow it because it is an easily exploitable situation. I will say, remember again, also keep in your back pocket, remember, there is another possibility because again, we're dealing with children. So when it comes to children, and we see this also in general, people are willing to really volunteer when it comes to children. Therefore, again, you can get yourself an apotropus. So therefore, I will say, halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara is coming out is, we never allow a relative to go ahead and manage the property of a katan. Doesn't matter what side you're related from, doesn't matter what kind of property, we don't allow it because it is an easily exploitable situation. Incredible. Let's go back there. Hayi safta, tahavi tlas bansa. So we'll say there was an older woman, a safta, who had three daughters. Ishtaboy ihi vechadabarta. The grandmother, together with one of the daughters, or as we'll say, we're going to see why we call her a grandmother in just a moment. So essentially, we'll call her Safta, but Safta is taken captive with one of her daughters, one of Safta's daughters. So Safta and one of the daughters are taken captive. Now, remember, I would say, there's one mother, three daughters, and as we're going to see, no one's married in this case. No one's married. So Safta and one of the daughters are taken captive. So the Gemara says, Ishtaboy ini vechadabarta. Idach tarti bansa. So now there are two remaining daughters. So the Gemara says, Shriva chadaminayu v'shavka yinuka. So we'll say, so what happened? There are two remaining daughters. Now, one daughter died, but she left behind a son, a child. And then there's one other daughter. So we'll say, so essentially, when we look at this family right now, here's what we have. Safta and one daughter in captivity, one remaining surviving daughter, and a grandson. Not from that surviving daughter, a grandson from the other daughter, we'll call daughter number two, who passed away. So that's the family right now. So essentially, out of captivity, the remaining members of this family out of captivity, ultimately, again, we'll say, isn't it amazing, by the way, that if you think about it, that like before October 7th, whenever you read Gemara's about captivity, right, Shvuyim, so like, you think like, whatever, it's like a foreign case. Like I could read it, I could read those cases, and it doesn't, it doesn't engender any type of emotion, like it doesn't do anything. And I will say, and now, like, we've had a couple of these cases, you know, every single time you read these cases, ishtaboy, taken captive, and here you read about a mother and a daughter taken captive. I will say, it's just incredible how life changes, and suddenly, again, I read these cases, besides the emotion I feel stirring up inside of me, suddenly, Rahman al-Islam, these are relatable cases of parents and children being taken captive together. It's just amazing how the world works, right? How things that felt so removed and so esoteric, and I could look at, you know, just like in a dispassionate fashion, suddenly suddenly our real life. Overwhelming. Okay, in any event. So now Safta and her daughter are in captivity, and the other members of the family is a grandson and a daughter. Okay, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Rabbi, hechinav. Now we'll say, now obviously, the reason why this is coming up is because Safta has property. Safta has property. So the shayla now is, so like, what do we do? Remember, we'll say, all of this entire sugya is all about the management of an estate. Right? That's what all of this is. In other words, Rabbi, what should we do? Hechinav. Look, minho l'nechase biyada da'achsa. So we'll say, so should we go ahead? Should we give the property over maybe to the surviving daughter? In other words, we'll say there is one adult daughter who's out of captivity. Maybe let her manage the estate. Here's the problem. Dilma shchiva safta ve'en moridin karov l'nichse katan. So we'll say, here's the problem. So the simplest thing we would think to say is give the surviving daughter management of the property. What's the problem? The problem is maybe Safta passed away. Maybe she was killed in captivity. And what we'll say, if that's the case, then remember, part of the estate now is owned by the grandson. Because we also remember again, the grandson inherits what would have been his mother's share. So maybe part of this estate is owned by the grandson, in which case, again, some of this property is owned by a katan. And what do we just establish? You can't bring in a relative to manage the property of a katan. Okay. Look, minu l'nechase biyada diyanuga. So maybe I will say, if that's the case, give over the estate to be managed by the katan. Now, of course, we wouldn't actually give it over to the katan. Well, we'd give it over to the katan, then what? Bezin would appoint an apotropos. So here's the problem. Dilma lo shchiva safta. Maybe safta is still alive, and therefore, again, the child didn't inherit anything. Ve'in moridin katan nichse shavoy. And what we said before, that you cannot go ahead and allow a katan to manage property of someone in captivity. So we'll say, so it's interesting. It's like, what do we do? So Rabbi, here's what we do. Hilchach. Palga yahavina la la'achta, v'idach palga mukmina la apetropa liyanuga. So we'll say, Abaye has a good approach. Abaye says, you know what? Just in this case, here's what we do. Split the estate in half, so to speak. Allow half of it to be managed by the surviving daughter, the one daughter who's alive and out of captivity, and give over the other half, ultimately, again, to the katan. But obviously, he's not going to manage it. Rather, what do? Let the apetropus manage it. Rava Amariva says, no. At that point, Migo de mokmina la apotropa, lepalga mokmina la apotropa leidach palga. So we'll say, Rava says, well, once you're doing that already, once you're involving an apotropos, just let the apotropos manage the entire thing. So we'll say, what's happening over here is, remember, again, we don't know if Safta is alive or not. That's what's kind of determining this, because if Safta is alive, then this is a din in property management, which has its own unique features. If Safta's passed away, then this is Yerusha, and this is about how you go ahead and manage the property. So therefore, again, everyone is essentially agreeing, kind of split the property. Let half of it be managed by the surviving daughter. Let half of it be managed by the grandson. But the grandson's not going to manage it. His apotropos will manage it. Rav is saying, well, 1 second. Once you're getting an apotropos involved over here, then what? Then just put the entire thing in custodianship. Just let the apotropos manage everything. Okay, I'm about to say the story evolved. Afterwards, they heard that, unfortunately, Safta died in captivity. I just want to point out something incredible. I will say, this is a story. In other words, this isn't a theoretical case. I just want to point out, this happened. This happened. So I will say, it's always important to understand, you know, sometimes, especially when we encounter new circumstances that we personally have never lived through before, we feel so overwhelmed. It's important to understand, I will say, that, and this is a tragic reality, but it's a reality nevertheless, the story of our people is written in the blood of countless tragedies. But it's always important to understand that despite all of that, we are still here. Right? This, unfortunately, this is not the first time that Jews have been taken captive. It's happened so many times throughout the millennia. And it's important to understand that yet, with everything, we're here, we're strong, and ultimately, again, we continue to thrive. It should just give us chizuk. Just give us chizuk. Sometimes, again, we face new realities, and we feel so broken and so overwhelmed by them. Things that are new to us are not new to our people. Anything and everything that one human being could visit upon another human being, we've been the recipient of it. We've gotten it. Whatever it is, the worst type of barbaric mistreatment, we've received it. Yet what? We're still here, I will say. And that should give us chizuk. L'sof shomu d'shchiva Safta. So then they heard, Safta died in captivity. Amar Abaye says, so now I have a Yerusha case. Now I have an inheritance case. So Abaye says, what do you do? Listen to this. Tilsi yavina l'la'achta. So the survive. Nebo says, now we're going to divide up the estate. Surviving daughter gets one third. Okay. So the good. Tilsi yavina l'yinuka. Grandson gets one third. Nebo says, now why is grandson getting a third? That's the third of his mother. Allah shalom. Right? She passed away. Right? Or in Baltimore, what do they say? Allah shalom. So the grandson gets a third. That's the third of his deceased mother. What's the only last unknown piece of information over here? The status of the daughter who was in captivity with Safta, right? We know that Safta died. We don't know about the daughter. So therefore, again, I want to say, I know surviving daughter, i.e. one daughter who's not in captivity and alive, she gets a third. Grandson gets the third of his mother who passed away. So let's say, now the shaila is, what happens to the last third? And that's dependent on, is daughter in captivity with Safta, is she alive or not? So what do we do with this? So we give a sixth. We give essentially half of that third to the sister. So essentially what we do is we have the surviving sister and the grandson kind of each watch over half of the surviving third, of the remaining third, to see what is going to happen with the other sister. So we'll give a sixth, ultimately again to sister, a sixth to katan, to grandson, but we're going to have an apotropos go ahead and manage his sixth. Rava says, no. Migo de mokim apotropa ledanka, mokmina nami apotropa leidach danka. So Rava says, no, it doesn't make any sense. In other words, it makes sense, but once you're going to appoint an apotropos to go ahead and what? To watch the sixth of the katan, essentially just appoint an apotropos to watch the remaining third. Just go ahead and get an apotropos to go ahead and take care of it, and then shalom Yisrael. Mari bar isik, Asalimar says, Mari bar isik asa le acha mi bechozai. Shabbos says another interesting. And Shabbos, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a mirror at Shabbos and Mari bar isik tomorrow. Chavra shkoyach. Shkoyach, tremendous stuff.